Hey, thank you so much for your support for the Hit Zero podcast. Truly could not have done it without Anchor. Anchor has an incredible platform where you can record, edit, and distribute your podcast all from your phone. You guys would be surprised how many episodes I have done from start to finish and distributed it from my phone. It's really, really, really incredible. Now, what you have to do is you can either go to anchor.fm. That's their website. You can go there, you can get started, or you can download the Anchor app. It's available in all of the app stores that you can get for your phone, and you can start right away. And believe it or not, you can actually make money from your podcast, and you don't even have to have a certain amount of listeners. Just by having one listener, you can start to make money from your podcast. So if you're interested in making a podcast, check out anchor.fm or check out the app store, download Anchor, and I cannot wait to hear your first episode.
Welcome to the Hit Zero podcast, where our goal is to build better cheer athletes.
For those who may have seen in the last couple of days, there's been a lot of buzz going on in the cheer world. There has been a video that's been circulating like crazy, and I've joked with the guy in the video about this unicorn stunt that he has hit. It's one of his life long dreams to hit, and we're going to talk about that and a whole lot more with our guest on the podcast today. It's the first interview we've done in a long time, so really happy to have this guy on. I've got Coach Chris Etheridge on with us today. Chris hit a double rewind. What would you even call it? I mean, it's not a two-handed rewind. I don't even know if there's a name.
Yeah, no. Pretty much what it is just a double one-arm rewind.
Double one-arm rewind. So we're going to talk about that more in a minute. So, Chris, tell us about yourself. Introduce yourself. Tell us what you're currently doing in the sport, and tell us a little bit on your background in cheer.
All right. So my name is Chris Etheridge. I've been doing cheer now for about 7 years. So I started my senior year of high school. Never really thought I'd get into it. Didn't even know cheerleading was even a thing for males as I started out. So definitely changed, again, the plans I had in life with it. Again, I was a D1A baseball player, assigned to do that, and then turned cheerleader, and definitely took a complete different route in life. And so far, it's been worth it.
I mean, you look at your accolades, man, and so you changed from baseball to cheer, so you got started way later than a lot of us. I mean, I feel like I got started late, and I was a senior in high school, but you were already like headed off to college, so you didn't do anything until you were college age.
I did a few open gyms and stuff towards the very end of my senior year of high school.
Okay.
That's about where I started, and just got involved with our local high school team, just started a small co-ed program, and a friend on the baseball team kind of got me involved in that and just kind of ran with it.
Gotcha. So how did the evolution go? Like, because I know obviously now you're a coach at New Mexico State, multiple year Team USA. And so tell us about kind of how things went from open gym to like today. Give us that timeline.
All right. So basically started out senior year of high school, and I was fortunate enough to be born and raised in Kentucky, so there's a lot of very good cheerleading around the area. I'm right in the middle of Louisville and Lexington.
Okay.
And then you have Moorhead, who's not super far either. So all these teams have great cheer programs that I didn't know about when I first started. But my high school went to the local camp in Lexington, and that's kind of where I got my start into college cheerleading, more of a view. We had a few flyers on the team who were very interested in University of Kentucky. And pretty much as I went there, I started getting recruited, kind of step out there just for potential, just for being a large guy in cheerleading who's able to just even do your basic toss skills. So that's pretty much where my start happened. Then started getting pretty much recruited by multiple schools in the area. And that's pretty much when I ended up going to the University of Louisville for cheerleading.
Okay. So you cheered how many years at Louisville?
So I did 2 years at Louisville at first, and then I transferred to the University of Alabama.
Okay.
And I did that for 1 year, and then I returned and cheered one more year at the University of Louisville. So three at Louisville and 1 year at the University of Alabama.
How many championships did you win over the course of your college career?
In college, I won zero.
Really?
I have not won a college championship. I have won a lot of other things, but every year I cheered was almost like alternating years for Louisville. So I cheered, gotcha, and we didn't win, and then when I left, they won, and then when I returned, we lost again. So.
Oh, that is frustrating. Well, that's your next challenge. Maybe now as a coach, you get your collegiate win.
That'll be the goal.
So let's say, you went from Louisville, and then what year did you leave? Did you graduate Louisville?
Louisville, I graduated in December of 2017.
Okay, so 17. What years were you with USA?
I've been with USA since 2015. Pretty much my going into my sophomore year of college, I've been on it ever since then, even after graduating.
Okay, so we had some crossover between college and USA, which, I mean, I don't know, you know, all the folks that are on USA, but is that pretty common, is to see, like, guys you competed against it? College Nationals, and now you're on the floor together competing for USA?
Yeah, so that's one of the really fun parts about USA is you know these people, especially if you're like in the industry of like these higher level colleges, and mm-hmm. It's definitely majority of college cheerleaders for USA, not all the time. It kind of depends on the year, it varies, but most of the time, most of these athletes are still in college, still doing things, so you know these people, you compete against them, but then you're able to get on the floor with them, meet them, and you kind of learn a whole new perspective of cheerleading and all the different styles kind of mesh together.
Yeah.
And it's just a very good learning experience.
That is kind of cool. You know, you think about, you know, the sport's always been so polar between like UCA and NCAA, and you find like the Team USA and like the ICU stuff, how it kind of has that merging of the two to where, you know, guys that you may have never competed against solely because of style, and now like you're on the same floor and you're doing the same routine. So I do think that's really cool that, you know, it has bridged. And I think that's one of the things, you know, we see with varsity, how it used to be so, you know, go NCAA, boo, you know, UCA, it's back and forth. It's, you know, I feel like nowadays you look at it like with your varsity, it's not UCA, you know, state reps and NCAA state reps, it's just varsity state rep, you know. So it's cool to see that merging kind of like on the front end, because nobody sees it on the back end, you know, like, okay, we're going to a varsity camp. Who knows, but that's pretty cool, man. So, all right. So did UCA or USA for the last few years. So I'm curious, you know, when you think about these conversations of like, who's the best, right? Like who's the GOAT. And I did an interview with Ellis McLean a few months back, and it was funny. We had no topic that we were going to talk about. We just started chatting, and somehow our conversation just went back to like who the best of all time, you know, talk about guys like Doug Stidham and Keogh and, you know, Big Mike and Mike Weaver and like all these guys. And so, you know, we started talking about some of the new guys in the sport and, you know, talking about the USA guys now. And so like, I'm curious what your mindset is. And then like, I mean, just being open with us, like, how does it feel to know, or do you realize that you're like the upper echelon? There's only like two or three of you guys that are doing what you do in the world, like in the entire world. I'm talking like 7 billion people, hundreds of thousands of cheer athletes across the world, and you're in a handful of the top that's ever done it. It's like, what does that mean to you? Do you see it? Do you feel that? Or is it like the humility won't let you do it?
Kind of a combination of both. So when I started, I just had a different drive. When I started seeing new skills, I used to watch YouTube videos all the time. This was even before Instagram and social media was even growing. It's pretty much YouTube was my resource. And definitely just started watching all these old videos, getting involved kind of in that cheer community, and people always talking about who's the best, who's done the coolest thing, kind of everyone sharing videos. And all those people you mentioned, again, these are all the videos I kind of started out cheer, I guess, in cheer-wise I grew up with. I was already an adult by this point, but mm-hmm. to me, cheer, I was a child. Everything was completely new. So definitely my goal, just as I started doing things and kind of got involved, it wasn't wanting to be better than like anyone personally. It was more of just like I genuinely that cliche idea of wanted to be the best. I wanted to see all these skills that everyone looked up to and thought were incredible, thought were like the coolest things ever done. And I'm like, I want to do them all. Like, I really am. Like, I want to do every single one that every single person looks up to. Mm-hmm. And then I guess in my head, that would be like, okay, that would make me towards the best or almost the best. If I do every single skill that everyone has done, then by default, does that not make me one of the high contenders of the sport? So that's kind of the perspective I had, and I still do. Like I said, even doing this new stunt, I did it because I've always wanted to do it. There was no purpose behind it besides just passion and a love for the sport and wanting to accomplish a new thing, because it does happen once you, once you've done so much. Again, I've been doing it for, I guess, 7 years now. It's it doesn't seem that long, but once you've been doing things for so long, it's hard to kind of get that adrenaline rush of doing something new, of just accomplishing a new skill, because again, you get to the point when adding another spin or another flip gets incredibly difficult to move forward. So yeah, no, definitely I've always wanted to stay humble, always just wanted to do it for me for the most part, wanted to just accomplish as much as I physically could. So that's more my perspective behind it. Of I don't really look at all the first time I kind of got the look at the being considered one of the best was USA when we went to Poland. They had like a TMZ guy there, and they did like a small kind of interview, and they just asked a few random questions, and it was funny because they asked who the LeBron James of cheerleading was, just the team, and the team turned and pointed at me, and I wasn't expecting that. It was just kind of cool. It was a cool little moment because it was kind of an improv thing with the team. And again, that was never my goal. It was never just to have that publicity.
But it's, you know, it's also like, it kind of validates the effort too, you know, not in the thing that like you need validation, you know, but it, in that moment, it helps you to realize like all the work, you know, the effort, the blood, sweat and tears, you know, the bumps, the bruises, broken fingers and, you know, busted up shoulders. And I mean, it makes it worth it, you know, like to be humble, but then, you know, for your peers to recognize your work. You know, I've always been a big believer of, you know, actions speak louder than words. And when you put your head down and you work, and then to have that fruit, you know, that tree bear fruit, that's really cool. So speaking of seeing skills and wanting to do them, you've also been the first one to do what, like 7 or 8 stunts, or first one to get them on film or get them on camera. So what are some of the things that, you know, either you created or that you were the first one to get on film, you know, stuff like that?
Okay, so there's a couple, and it still varies because I've always been hesitant to always be like first one to do something, first to do anything, because there's multiple that came before me, even before any form of videotaping, like VHS tapes, anything was able to be posted. So again, I knew there were a lot of great people before me that like might not have documentation of it. But that's why I always kind of ask around to these big names. I've kind of like somewhat made friends with a lot of them on social media, or been able to kind of reach out like, hey, have you seen this before? Hey, have you done this before? Just to, again, give the credit where credit's due. And
we'll put an asterisk. As far as you know,
yes,
you're the first one. And if anybody else has done this before Chris did any of these, let us know so we can give you the credit also, right? All right, so
perfect.
There's our disclaimer.
So I think the first major one I did first was with Megan Ballantyne, who was on USA, cheered for Sam Houston, now coaches Sam Houston State University. We did a triple up to QB. So that one I don't think has been done.
I didn't even know you did that one.
Yeah, I have it on video.
Wow.
No, did a... There's been a few people doing triple ups. And, I've done a few of those with a couple different girls, but that's the only one I did like really pretty, almost to the front.
How hard is it to stop that spin? Like, it's one thing to generate that much power, but to be able to like grab feet and just stop a triple with one hand. I mean, how hard is that?
Yeah, So it almost kind of happens naturally because that skill was so incredibly fast. It was funny when I was doing it was I was throwing a few, and I'm like, okay, there we've hit like one or two triple ups. And these feel really like easy compared to fast, because she is a smaller flyer and just super experienced. She is a super, super veteran experience. And so I'm like, these are feeling good. I'm like, I've always wanted to go to one hand. Like, why not today be the day? So we tried on the day again, the same thing you're talking about, just hitting real hard, kind of kicking me out, kicking her sideways, just so much power and so much torque to the skill. And finally, my spotter, he was like, he goes, I got you. Because I had like a safety on it of like throwing and catching the flyer.
Yeah.
And he's like, bro, I got you. Just throw it. So I throw it, I'll catch her if it goes wrong, but really commit to it. So that's pretty much when I did it. And it's got, it just kind of landed in my hand. You can see in the video if you watch it or add it on here or anything. It kind of hits my hand and like kind of kicks me out. But then there's that moment of, oh, it's in my hand. And then like being able to get my body back underneath it. Yeah, it's just, it's a lot. And I guess like technique over years, I figured out kind of how to somewhat make that a soft absorption, but it still wasn't. It was still a pretty good
That's insane, man. A triple up QB. So obviously spinning stunts, good with that. What about flipping stunts? Any inverts or flipping that you were the first that you know of?
So me and a girl named Sophie from Moorhead, we hit that I know of probably the first where like back hands bring up to hand skis or invert.
Yeah.
Became a thing over the past few years. So me and her had the idea. We did like a back handspring full up to hand ski. So from the ground, she was in a handstand a full spin up to one. Okay. And we were, that I know of, the first one to do that one. And that was pretty cool.
Was it a front handspring double up pull through to left, pull through stretch? Or?
I did a back handspring double up pull through one arm stretch. I did that down in Orlando on the football field. I've done kind of a few stunts there that were cool.
Okay, so you did the back handspring full up handski. Have you ever done a handski full around?
No, I have not.
Okay,
I haven't even got to try. So that one that was in the plan, and there was a lot of us that were kind of in the top tier were trying that for a while. I wanted to be the first one to do it. So we were kind of all, it was cool too, because you are competing for the first one to do something, but it's crazy how kind of motivating you are towards everyone. That's kind of something different I see in cheer when you're at that level. You just want to see someone do it.
Yeah.
You don't really care about the credit of who does it. You just want to see it done. So, Ed did that one first, and he tried for like a week. He was keeping me updated of him trying.
So did he actually
trying
hit
it? Yeah, he hit it. It's on my Instagram. I posted it for him.
We got to get – so we're going to add in – I want to get all the videos we're talking about and add them in so people can see them. We can put them over the video that we have here. So, okay, so back handspring, full up handski. What about anything else unique? Did you ever go down to Stunt Fest and, like, play around down there with some of those folks? Or?
Yeah, definitely. So still haven't hit it completely yet. But we were doing kind of – we call it a back tart, so like a pop tart, just a hands pop to hand in hand forward. So last year, Stuntfest, we were working on a lot of the hands, kind of back handspring to hand in hand. We did a lot of those, but we were hands back handspringing straight to invert. So that was something we were working on. I got some videos that are super close. To me, they're not post worthy. I could still post them like with some movement, but I'm still waiting to just try them again because I know I can do it. I just haven't been able to do it.
There was one stunt I saw a guy who did. It was, I can't remember, you probably know what it is. The guy caught it, it ended up landing in a hand ski, but he like was running all over the place trying to save it, and he was in jean shorts. Was that a back handspring tuck, like rewind to hand ski, or what was that stunt?
I think it was the one I was just talking about.
Okay.
Because me and him were kind of just, we're best friends for the most part in cheering. We were playing back and forth to see who can hit it first or whatever.
Got it. Okay. I couldn't remember what the beginning was. I remember they got close to hitting it, and he like kind of took off running through the crowd, holding her upside down. Yep. And like I can't remember if he hit it or not. But
He ended up hitting it, but that was the same thing. Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about the unicorn. And I think that could kind of segue into potentially a next stunt for you if you don't have one, if you want to add one to your list. But first of all, before we get to the one you hit, the one that I'm thinking like to pay homage to Louisville is the double back rewind that Big Mike hit at Stunt Fest. I know you've probably seen that 1,000 times, knowing you, watching video, yep. wanting to do stuff. So is that on your yep. list of things to try to hit?
So I have some weird stuff with that stunt. I hit it in COP brands. I hit a standing double back rewind, probably chest level, just don't have it on video.
Okay.
I was stunning with Constantine and someone else down there, and it was one of the local Mexican flyers. Okay. And it that was a cool experience too, because we had almost like a translator in between us, so we could, because my Spanish is not that good. So we were able to hit that. Me and Constantine were really playing with them. And so the other ones I've tried round off double backs, and it's just finding, to me, same as the unicorn stunt, finding the right flyer, finding the right person for that skill. Again, to me, I know I have the power and the ability to do it. It's just finding a girl with that. Again, I would prefer someone with kind of strong gymnastics background, mid-power yeah. tumbling, someone who has physically done a double back on the floor before in a basket, some kind of body control and air awareness, just so it works successfully. I don't want to have to teach someone how to do a single rewind, then teach yeah. them another flip. It's just, it's yeah. too long of a process.
True.
So,
well, I guess that's definitely on my list. You and Colin are going to have to be the motivators back and forth on that one, because I know that's something that he's wanting to hit too, and I know having hit it, I know that's going to push him to want to do it, and knowing that he's trying to hit it, because, you know, I know with y'all, it's just going to be now who hits it at the top.
Yeah.
Because that's
the goal, and
that's it, yeah.
That's what I did, too, with, with all those skills I've been seeing and stuff, I wanted to just, I guess, have that higher level of perfection, and to, even if some of the people have done some of these incredible skills, of just to, like, hit them cleaner, hit them prettier, hit them to the top, hit them locked out, just kind of a different standard.
Mm-hmm.
And Colin does that amazing. Colin is great at completely locking all of his skills out. So the double back rewind, it'll definitely be on the list, and just finding the right opportunity to do it, and some girl willing to do two backflips and try to land on the top of somebody. Sure.
So I think that's a perfect segue into – actually, before we do that, we're going to take a break for 1 second. We're going to do a commercial break for our sponsor for the episode. Hang tight for just a minute. We'll be right back with Chris Etheridge.
When it comes to performing your best, don't let your nutrition be the one thing that holds you back. Zero deductions, zero mistakes, hit zero. For more information, check out www.hitzeronutrition.com.
All right, we're back. So we're going to talk about the unicorn stunt. So, you know, we talked earlier in the interview and in our talk about things that you hit first. Right, so you're the first one to do, you know, the backhand spring Hansky full up Hansky. So I got there's a lot of stuff that you were created first, which would be easy to say unicorn because you're the first one to do it. But in my mind, when I think of something that's a unicorn, I think of something that not many people would ever be able to do for whatever reason. Right, so I'm sure, like you talked about, you watched people's videos. It was things that you wanted to try, you know, you did them, and you know, but like you think about like a full up, you know, there was a first person that did a full up. Now full ups are basically like warm ups for some high school people. Right. So I wouldn't call that a unicorn. Right. We talk about skills that people try, but may never hit because of whatever reason, you know, things that seem unattainable. So even though you didn't invent this stunt, there's only been, what, 3 or 4 people in the history of the sport that have ever hit it? And you're in the top 5 that have ever hit it, right?
Yeah.
So
definitely. So I was trying to look back on that. I think it's around 4 or 5 that I've known or heard of or
so seen videos Keo, of. So. Keo hit one from UK, Jason Keo. Yeah. And then
– so Keo you have 3 UK guys that I know for sure have done it. Was Keo, Jeremy Lumpkin, and Matei.
Okay, so Lumpkin was the other one. Okay. Now, because I've seen Keo since I was in high school. And then I saw the one that was hit recently on the sideline at Kentucky.
Yeah, that's Matei.
Okay, and I didn't know Lumpkin. I mean, I assumed that Lumpkin could hit one. I just don't think I ever saw him do it.
Yeah, no, it's I think he might have it on his Instagram. He's done it as well, and I think the other one, Hernan Cortez has done one.
Did he?
Because that's what, that's me assuming, because I know his skill level, and I've seen his old tapes,
mm-hmm.
and one of the comments, he commented on one of the videos of the one that went viral and said, welcome to the club.
Well, yeah, I saw that. Welcome to the club.
By that, I was either assuming, maybe either way, I think it's still five people. Five people or less have.
So let's talk about this skill, right? Because I know at Winterfest, shout out to Louie and shout out to Cheer Acro. I know you were talking about it, and I heard the rumblings in the group. I was over off to the side doing my thing with some people, but I heard it start talking. Chris is going to try double rewind, and so I looked over and I started seeing you first working a couple, and you had a whole bunch of people spotting, and the girls were kind of all over the place, and I wasn't paying much mind because I figured if you're going to hit it, it's going to take a while. But is it just me, or did you hit it in like the first like 20 minutes you were trying it? Because it felt like I was saying, I'm like, okay, cool, we'll be working on that for a while. And then I'm plugging my phone into the wall and I just hear everybody losing their mind. And I look over and there you are holding two girls in the air and the whole building is losing their mind. Mm-hmm. So, like, I mean, how many tries did it actually take? I mean, it couldn't have been more than 10, 15 maybe?
It was 10 to 15 probably.
Good Lord. So talk us through the experience, man.
So starting with that skill, I got to try it about last year at Moorhead. I just went to a clinic just to play around. It was one of their clinics, but I just come sometimes to throw people around just to volunteer time and hang out with friends at clinics. Mm-hmm. So went there and I got to try it about four or five times. So I need to find those old videos, have them somewhere. And I barely got to try it, but they were closer than I thought. I was going to be kind of starting out with the skill. I was thinking kind of more chest level, maybe just enough to get them to rotate.
Yeah.
And they were definitely eye level and higher even then with four to five tries. And like one, I'd catch the left and drop the right, or I'd catch the right and drop the left. I'm like, oh, this is super doable. But again, I only got four attempts, five attempts. I kind of planned to come back and do it again, but just never got around to it. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to Utah. It was funny. I text just some people beforehand. I'm like, I think I'm going to try it with literally Elsa and Ani, those two girls. I'm like, I think I'm going to try a double one arm with Elsa and Ani. Because, again, it's looking for those girls with the timing, same size, same speed. Just really, there's a bunch of factors that come into that for me.
Yeah.
When trying one of those skills. Again, I guess to make it in that 10 to 15 tries of not having to reteach things, of just already having people with a certain skill set.
When you wear yourself out after so many, too.
Yeah. So, starting that, it's really funny too. That's the first skill I've ever thrown with either of them. That's something I just found comical.
Really?
I haven't even thrown them in a toss extension or anything.
No warm up. That's your new calling card. No warm up. Yeah. Double rewind.
I threw because Ed started them first, and Ed was just he wanted to play with them too, and mm-hmm. he'll definitely be able to do that in the future. But he didn't do any warm up at all. He did a few air squats and started going with that skill. I'm like, you're insane. I threw a left-to-left with Anu, and then I threw a right-to-right with Elsa just to feel their timing individually before I started with both of them, just because I figured that was a good progression of the skill.
Yeah, why not?
Same way. So after starting it, I just knew the hardest thing was going to be like bilaterally equal and able to do the same thing on both sides regardless of the timing errors you feel or anything happening. It's just you holding your ground and making sure you're doing the same exact thing at the same exact time with both arms so that it's able to hit the skill. Mm-hmm. So the very first one I threw, it was funny because I knew I was going to have to be quick because I knew that's the way the skill was going to work is explosiveness and how fast I can accelerate off the ground once they get over top of me. And the first one, they both beat me completely. I threw both of them probably about a foot and a half, 2 foot behind me, like straight to the spotters. I'm like, oh, this is a little trickier than I thought. So it was funny, and then I just knew, keep speeding up, and they're like, do you want us to slow down? And I told them, like, absolutely not. That's how I stunt, is I'll catch up to you. I want to use all of your momentum and all of your power to be able to do the skills. So as we kept doing tries, again, the first one, every single one got better. That was kind of a cool experience of every single thing, because, again, five people, six people maybe have ever tried or hit the skill. Mm-hmm. So there's not really tips out there. There's not someone you can call up and be like, hey, what do you think when you do this? So,
well, it's also, that goes to, like, you have that high level, the two high level girls, you're not sitting here brainstorming like, hey, you do this, you do that. It's like, you do it, you all feel like, okay, what did I feel we all agree, like, yeah, okay, that's what we felt. And, like, they're not coaching each other. You're just, like, you're that high level that you know the micro changes you need to make to make sure you're pulling your weight in that stunt. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
So they got better as we went along. And the natural issue was they would naturally go outward. The weight would always shift because I guess that you have one on each side of your body. They're both going to drift a little bit in each direction.
Sure.
So that's the problem I was running into is they were getting high enough, but they were always, as soon as I made contact, I can't do 100 pound flies. Like that's my, I couldn't hold it there for the first few, almost started hitting. So Ed helped me a little bit too. And he's like, try finishing more towards the middle because that's what he was feeling on the couple that he tried before me. He's like, finish more of the skills towards each other if they're going to naturally have that little bit of drag. So as I started doing that, that's kind of that breakthrough. That was like one or two before it actually hit of they were in catching range. They were shoulder width apart. They were over my face. They were where I needed them. So then I just told the girls when they, as soon as they feel any form of contact, grab each other. I'm like, grab each other and pull each other together so that I'm able to push it up and it doesn't drag me out. So they did an incredible job again for trusting me and never really studying with me. Like we all knew each other and you kind of know that skill level and you just have a natural level of trust.
Yep.
They did a great job for just being so willing to do that over and over again.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. So you make contact, you hit the one, you grab it. And I remember like watching the video a few times and seeing like, it's almost like you knew that was the one and like you were not, like there was, it was not stopping. Yeah. No matter, like, I remember seeing you make that contact and I didn't get to see any of the effort, you know, many of the efforts before that, but it just felt like the second you hit feet, like your body language was just like, oh my God, this is it. Like, this is the one. So to walk me through like what was going through your head when you made contact with their feet and it stuck and you knew all you had to do was just shrug up and stand up straight. What was that? Like, what was going through your mind and what was in your heart at that second?
So it was exactly like you said. I knew just any time in cheerleading, I know when a skill is getting close and can hit at any given time just when you work your way to it. So right around that time, I knew like anyone, I got to be ready for it. I got to be ready for when I feel that contact to hold. And as soon – it was really funny because the left, if you watch the video, the left one hit perfectly. And I'm like, okay, that was weird because you usually expect it the opposite way of like the dominant arm's going to hold. So left hit, and I made that contact, and I'm like, oh, I have it. Like the stack felt right. So I'm like, you can see my right arm bends a little bit, and I'm like, this is not coming down. There was this like internal fight of like, nope, we made it this far. We've done enough reps. This is the one. There's no reason to let this come down. So just a really, really determined of – making sure that right arm pushed through and filling the weight and getting it up. And then that just moment of satisfaction when both arms locked out or to when I know I for sure had it completely done. That was just it was a cool moment. I haven't got to experience adrenaline and stuff like that in a long time.
I loved, as soon as it hit, everybody's losing their mind. Everybody's freaking out. Like in my mind, I'm like, he's probably losing his mind too. And then all of a sudden you just look down at the camera and you just start smiling like, see, I told you I could hit it. That look on your face. So like, all right, cool. What's next? You know? So like, I bet it felt like you held it forever once you hit it.
Honestly, not too bad. It's so weird with that skill because I know I have a different kind of skill set and a different mentality when it comes to cheerleading. Mm-hmm. So that skill really isn't to me the hardest thing I've ever done.
Okay.
But definitely mentally, definitely timing, definitely all the small mechanics to that one, technically it was difficult. It was the most difficult by that means, but me feeling like I throw something as hard as I physically can, that one wasn't there. So holding the double keep, it felt like I was pushing out that right arm forever because the left one was locked out. that brief moment of trying to lock out my right arm, and once I could push through that, then holding it was just supporting weight. And
you know,
you have all the adrenaline boosting. So I wasn't even paying attention at that moment. I just made sure I brought them down safe, and then we could celebrate.
Yeah, I've shown that video to a few patients, and obviously shared it through social media and stuff. And you know, they ask like, "How long has this guy been doing this?" And I tell them like, honestly, like in the spectrum of life, not, you know, cheer life, not very long. You know, he got started later in life, and I went back and looked, and you were barefoot.
Yeah.
You had no shoes on. So I was like, that just shows you this natural ability and athleticism this guy has. Like, he's like, yeah, take your shoes off. Let's just hang out. We'll throw some stuff. Get crazy. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was funny. Like, you know, you got to get ready, right? You got to have solid foundation and you got to get warm and like have, like, can't let your clothes impede on you. And you got to have, it's like out here in a t-shirt and pants with no shoes on, just getting crazy. So yeah. I thought that was pretty funny. But the night before, for those obviously, you know, there are a lot of people don't know, but we got to spend, you know, you and I got to spend quite a bit of time together this past weekend. You know, the first night we met, I just walked straight. So I walked straight up to Chris and told him I wanted to meet him and that I was a huge fan of his and his work and that I had really looked forward to being able to connect with him on that weekend. And then the second night after the first night we all went out, had dinner after the first night of Winterfest, I sat down with Chris for a bit of time after, you know, the rest of the crew had gone back and Chris and I, sat and spoke for a bit about, Hit Zero, the supplement company that we started. And, you know, one of my biggest goals is to find, you know, high quality athletes that embody what the athleticism of cheer is about, to help me to represent our brand and help represent the sport in a positive light. And so, it was a goal to try to see if Chris would want to get on board with that. And so in having some time to sit down and talk, we found we had a lot in common with our desires for the sport and the athleticism that we want to portray, especially now coming into the Olympic light, and just really making our sport better. So Chris and I spoke, and I'm proud to announce officially to everyone that Chris is our newest member of Team Hit Zero. He's our newest ambassador for the company. And we joked, I said, hey man, now that you're on the team, like, we got to get some footage of you so we can make some promotional stuff. And then yeah. you hit that stunt, and I'm just like, oh my God, we like, the timing couldn't have been better. But yeah. So just tell us, you know, talk a little bit about, you know, some stuff that we talked about, you know, nutrition and, you know, taking our sport, you know, not necessarily more seriously, but taking the way that we train more seriously, and why you felt compelled to join us at Hit Zero and be, you know, a newest member of our team.
Yeah. So, with cheer, I definitely see a big, contrast. It depends on what school and what funding you really have, but definitely when it comes to nutrition and working out and everything you should need to be a high performing athlete lacks, or people, just the culture of it lacks, of people thinking that either they think cheerleading is less than another sport or whatever reasons behind it. You definitely see a lack in people just wanting that desire to take care of their bodies, to really be able to do everything a high performing athlete would do to, again, and last long term, to have every, I don't want to put this, just pretty much taking care of themselves to where they can perform at their best with using different supplements, whether it be trainers, different things like that. And it's just a culture you don't really see much in it. And again, that's why I guess you probably have correlations with higher injury rates, everything that cheerleading kind of gets a negative look at. Mm-hmm. So definitely wanting, again, sharing the same idea you have of just wanting to kind of make cheerleading also have those same things as other sports do. So when you pitched to me about pretty much the Hit Zero, the products you were pitching to me, I really enjoyed it because, again, it's sharing your passion and just you're really dedicated to, again, giving cheerleaders that opportunity to have the same thing as other athletes. You know what I'm saying? There's always been the argument of, is cheerleading a sport, is whatever, and that can be an argument forever. But to me, cheerleading is athletic. That's the argument I will argue. Mm-hmm. Is it an athletic ability that these people have? And 100%, there's no doubt of that. Sport is by definition other things, but sure. Is it athletic? Yes. So being able for you to like want to provide to this and want to give these athletes, again, the same opportunities that all the other athletes the rest of the world looks up to, that was super cool to me. And really cool you invited me into that and let me start trying some of your products.
So you got to try some of the Full Out, and I know we had talked, you said that when it comes to like energy formulas and stuff, there wasn't really any that you were a fan of. And I was like, you know, that was my biggest thing I wanted is you gotta like it to wanna represent it. So that was a big thing was, you know, obviously wanting you to try stuff and get a feel for, you know, is this even something you want to, you know, to represent? And so you tried it and give us so your feedback. I know you said you really enjoyed the full out. You felt like it actually gave you, you know, it gave you what you would look for out of an energy formula. So talk about like kind of what you felt, what, you know, cause you did, I mean, you were taking full out the day you hit the stunt too, right? So
absolutely.
Talk about just what you felt, was like what you felt different when you took the full out versus not, and how you felt that, you know, changed your, you know, what was different for you in that moment?
Okay, so again, back to energy supplements, I was always skeptical because, again, just the way the world is going, pretty much anyone can sell anything. Mm-hmm. And if they get the right advertising, it works. But with that, my issue with all the other ones I've tried in the past, definitely they do give you, I guess, the similar feeling of just more of a high energy boost. But again, what's seen across the board with most of them is just the crash, just the... Well, yeah, you're very high for a moment, and then it's like, then you just feel kind of like droggy, kind of, you don't feel that anymore, and you definitely feel, it might even be putting you back to your normal performance level, or even lower than that, but you definitely feel a major change, and that kind of changes attitudes or your motivation to do certain things. And with full out, I still definitely, again, because I tried it two days, three days, and I really liked it. Again, feeling the first thing I want to feel when I'm thinking of an energy supplement is just that boost, that motivation, that just high energy, kind of feel your blood going, feel the beta alanines and everything, just feel everything start going. And then again, I was also skeptical looking for that crash and whatnot. And it was really cool because I never felt it, even hitting the stunt and getting adrenaline going with the pre-workout and with the supplement. It was kind of a cool experience because it was always a kind of consistent, either it was up and stayed there throughout the day, even through lunch. Like I said, I don't know how long specifically these supplements are supposed to work, but the entire first half session of the day, I didn't have any issues. I felt that constant energy, able to do stuff the entire time, and didn't ever have that crash, didn't have any feelings afterwards.
Yeah, that morning session, we got there at 8, and then we wrapped up with lunch at 1, so 5 hours.
And that was, again, more than enough that I'm looking for, because doing stuff at, again, cheerleaders is such a high, just fast-paced level. Again, I don't want to do it long-term. Physically, sure, that's sure, not just sure. good for me to do yeah. that the entire day.
Yeah, there's a difference between, like, taking a caffeine spike and you get an hour or two out of it versus something that you're, like, 12 or 13 hours, and you're like, dude, I'm done. I need to – to hear that it gets you through, you know. You think, like – and what I think about is, like – like something like that where you're doing an AM or a PM session, or even like competition day where you get to the venue and you're a few hours before you're on the floor, and then like you have warm ups and you have run throughs and all that kind of stuff. So it's good to hear that, you know, that your experience was that it kind of hits that window of time that we need in our sport, you know, because we're only on the competitive stage, we're only on there 2.5 minutes, but it's 2 hours of prep, right, before you actually get on the floor. Yeah, so, no, man, so I'm super excited to have you on board, and I know that, you know, the first thing for me as far as having an athlete that represents, you know, the brand is humility and hard work, and I think that you and Colin and Matt Stevenson, the three guys that we have on the team so far, like you three represent that so well. And, you know, you're all very, very talented. You're very humble. And that you're all dedicated to your craft. And I think that fully embodies everything that we want. And I'm super pumped to have you and to get to introduce you to folks and work with you and help hopefully to positively impact more athletes and continue to help our sport grow. So I'm honored to have you, man. I appreciate it. So the last thing we do with all of our interviews, and this one's no different, I don't know if I told you this, is you got rapid fire questions. These are ones that you get no preparation for. You just got to grip it and rip it. So I was thinking about what questions I wanted to ask you, and I feel like first date questions are just way more, they just, I don't know, just It felt right. So we're going to have some first date questions. Okay, yeah. So do you prefer the beaches or the mountain?
Mountain.
Mountains. Well, you do look like a mountain man.
It's new. This is the longest I've ever had a beard in my life.
Anybody that's followed you on social media is going to be like, that is not Chris Etheridge. I've seen him on Instagram. Yeah. So mountains, no beaches. Okay. Pizza or hamburgers?
Pizzas.
What kind of pizza?
So it was weird growing up. It was one of those like basic like cheese or maybe one meat, and now pretty much anything. Now I've grown into usually like Supreme or Meat Lover or something like that.
Okay, so the most important question.
No, it does not.
Pineapple on pizza.
Question.
You knew it was coming. Yeah. Okay.
Pineapple does not belong on pizza.
Well, we won't let our Hawaiian friends watch this because then you may lose some friends in Hawaii.
Yeah, I know.
What's your favorite color?
Probably green.
Green. You know, they say geniuses pick green.
Really?
I don't know. That's what they said on Meet the Parents. That's very easy. He rents the car. He goes, that's a unique color, Greg. He goes, yeah, the dealership just gave me that one. Oh, they say geniuses pick green. Oh, cool. Yeah, but you didn't pick it. Okay. And let's see. Last question. Who's your favorite superhero and why?
I'm going to go with just the first one I thought of and why. So I don't technically, again, I've watched all your Marvel, everything DC, but don't know everyone's perfect backstory, but I definitely like Superman just for the fact of probably being from a different planet. To me, Superman has more powers than most. It would be either him or Hulk, because Hulk doesn't ever seem to be destroyed. Right? Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty cool one. But
and also because you look like Hulk yourself, right?
Yeah. So definitely, I was always Superman. You always hear your Batman versus Superman. I'm over here thinking like Bruce Wayne has money, but Superman actually has powers type thing.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely more Superman just for all of his abilities and being able to fly and strong. And he pretty much has the package deal going on. So
I kind of do Superman. The thing I liked about Superman the most was the fact that, like, he's just like a normal dude day to day. You're like, who's this guy, right? And then, like, secretly he's just, oh, cool, I'm the most powerful being in the universe. Just like hanging out, you know. just chilling with his glasses on. Well, cool, man. Well, thanks so much for taking time out of your day to do this call with us. And I'm really excited to get to share. So by the time this comes out, all the things that we talked about will be linked on top of the video. We'll have all these videos that we talked of. And then we'll also have links to Chris's social media. I know you're kind of in a circuit right now of doing some stunt privates and things like that. So, and I know you like to travel and see the world and see different areas of the country for stunts. So, we'll get you guys in touch with Chris so that if he is in your area, you can schedule time to stunt with one of the greatest of all time. It's definitely an opportunity that you do not want to miss. And don't think that if he's in an area and he's taking privates that there's any chance you won't get his best, because there's a bunch of them. This guy is an animal. He stunted all weekend long. We're talking like 8-hour days nonstop. And he hit this unicorn stunt at the end of day two. Okay, so just to let you know, this man does not wear out. So don't think that you're going to get anything less than the best, regardless of how long he is working. He's still going to give you everything you need. And for those that are interested, we're going to put a link for Hit Zero Nutrition for those that haven't heard about it yet. And Chris also has a discount code. If you use his code CETHERIDGE10, it will save you 10% on your entire order. And that will you'll be able to see exactly what you know, Chris is talking about with some of the things that he experienced with the Hit Zero supplements. So thanks again for talking with us, Chris, man. I really appreciate it.
Yep. Nope. Thanks for having me, Travis.
All right. We'll talk soon.
All right.
All right. See you, man.